This is On Target St. John's. A look at politics, crime, education. What's happening here with the people who know? The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station. Now, your On Target St. John's host, Linda Swain.
And good afternoon, everyone. Back on the airwaves after a short respite. We're talking municipal government this time around. We spent a lot of time talking about the Green Report on Open Line this morning, and there's lots more conversation to be had on that topic as well. But for all intents and purposes, for people here in Newfoundland and Labrador anyway, municipalities are the level of government that has the most direct impact on our lives. It's where we pay the greatest number of taxes and whose services and infrastructure have the greatest impact on our lives, whether it be from the roads that you drive on to get to work or recreational activities that you do after work. Amy Cody Davis is the interim chair of Municipalities Newfoundland and Labrador. She's also a central director and a longtime town councillor in Grand Falls, Windsor. Hello, Amy.
Hi, Linda. How are you?
Great. Are you in Grand Falls now?
I am, yes. Grand Falls, Windsor, yes.
How's the weather out there right now?
It's a little overcast, and it's been drizzly all morning. It's starting to dry up a little bit now. I'm hoping after work it'll be nice enough to get out for a walk.
Oh, I know what you're saying. I know it, you're preaching to the choir. Mm-hmm. So the Green Report was released last week. Are there any recommendations that will impact municipalities in this province?
Well, I'll tell you, Linda, we launched our municipal symposium virtually on Thursday, the same day that the report was released. So we haven't had a whole lot of time to really digest it and look through it and you know, decipher what all the meanings are. I was watching the Green Report live with my earpiece in, and Craig, our CEO, was reading the report in between sessions. So we were trying to, you know, and having a conversation in between when we had an opportunity. So there's a lot of things in here that we really need to kind of do a little more research on. But there's a lot of stuff in there. You know, while municipalities weren't referenced a whole lot in the report, and there's a lot of strengths and some weaknesses in the report that we see from a municipal perspective. So like I said, when we start to look at it more, we'll probably have more to say on it. But you know, we understand that the province is certainly in a very difficult financial position and has been for quite some time, and we all need to play a role in how we're going to, you know, improve that situation. So in the report, there's a lot of reference to communities being considered and community-led projects. And when we hear those words, right away, Municipalities Newfoundland and Labrador thinks of municipal, and municipalities are going to be leading these conversations. So we're very hopeful that, you know, the municipalities and MNL, the organization, will be involved in not just the public consultations, but also to have some time to be able to spend with government to kind of look at the recommendations, give our input onto what we think can work and, you know, where some changes may possibly be made, and sort of move forward from there.
On first blush, anything stand out to you other than, you know, some of these references to community-led sort of projects or initiatives?
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the things in the report talks about the forced land registration. So, you know, that has always been a difficult point for municipalities to identify who the landowners are of this, you know, vacant land and things that are in their municipalities. So, you know, we think that's a positive thing. We would need to be able to identify that land, and then it would allow us and give us the ability to be able to collect vacant land taxes and, you know, water taxes and things like that on that land if infrastructure is running through that. One of the problems is it looks like it's going to run through the Crown Lands Department, and municipalities have always had a struggle back and forth with Crown Lands in the amount of time it takes to turn that land over or to, do the research or do the work. So that area is definitely something that we're excited about, and we think, you know, that's certainly a positive thing, and we really want to be able to work with the department to, you know, make sure that this works out smoothly and is beneficial to not just the province but municipalities as well.
That almost seems, though, like an insurmountable type of task to try and figure out who owns this land. And, you know, you're going to get the fights and the legal battles and all of those kinds of things, because there's always somebody, whenever you're talking about land, that's where all the fights happen. And I know there's a lot of listeners right now who know in their own families that's where the fights occur, is over the land. And, you know, because this one passed it on to that one, and this one mentioned it to that one, or it's written on the back of a cigarette pack or on an old map that somebody wrote and put up in an attic somewhere. That's the real difficulty, isn't it? Because this was never done dating way back.
Exactly. And we know it's going to be a struggle, but we realize that this is a start. And if we don't start and don't try, then it will just remain a problem throughout. There's probably, you know, some areas where it may be easily identifiable. Like you said, they might be slim, but we're hoping that, you know, if we can get some of the easy ones, and who knows, people may be more willing to say, hey, if you're taxing me on it, it's not really mine. It belongs to so-and-so. So maybe that may kind of speed things up as well.
All of a sudden, nobody owns any land.
Exactly.
So you talked about these community-led projects. Anything else stand out for you?
Yeah, well, the the references to economic development and the acknowledgement of the role that municipalities play in economic development. So big initiative for MNL is that we have just recently launched a regional economic development task force with the CBDCs across the province, where we're going to partner and we're going to work regionally with municipalities to find out and build on our economic strengths and have a regional approach so that, you know, we come up with some solid ideas, we understand, where our strengths are in those areas, where our weaknesses are, and what we need to do to overcome and develop our tourism and economic development strategies. So that's going to be a big thing for us. We held two sessions at our symposium, actually, on regional economic development. Both sessions, very well attended, a lot of feedback, and some great conversations. So that's definitely something, that we want to build on. We also had sessions at our symposium with Music NL, talking about how do we support musicians in our community as entrepreneurs. How can we build on that? Where can we go from there? How do we support the music industry? It's been such a tough year for our musicians with COVID. Not being able to tour, not being able to do gigs. They've done what they can. They've certainly, had an online presence and kept at the forefront as much as they could, but they're struggling. So we understand that there's a great partnership that can happen with the municipalities and the musicians, and we want to continue to build on that as well, so that when we do get back to, some semi-normal times, I guess, and we can start having, in-person events and concerts and festivals, on a lower scale, obviously, that we'll have something to build on. We'll have a starting point, and we can move from there.
Interim Chair of Municipalities Newfoundland and Labrador, Amy Cody Davis, is my guest today on OnTarget. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain, OnTarget St. John's on VOCM.
My guest today on Target is the Interim Chair of Municipalities Newfoundland and Labrador, Amy Cody Davis. And we've been talking a little bit about the Green Report, but I also want to touch on your symposium a little later on in the show. Were there, you said, there's a lot there to go over. And although the word municipalities wasn't used very often, you can sort of read between the lines on some of those issues. Were there any aspects related to municipalities or municipal government services that you would have liked to have seen addressed in this report?
Yeah, well, one of the things that stood out to us are concerns around recommended cuts to operating grants and whether or not that's going to include the municipal operating grants that come out to municipalities. They're at the bare minimum as it is right now. Municipalities cannot afford to take a financial hit. The money that we are given through these grants, you know, help us move through our daily organizations with regards to our infrastructure needs and things like that. We use that money, you know, to leverage other funds to be able to do the projects that we need to do. So we cannot afford to, you know, have any cuts to that. So we hope that when they're talking about cuts to operating grants, that that does not include, you know, municipal operating grants.
What kind of an impact might that have?
That would have a huge impact on municipalities. I mean, we are struggling with COVID right now. We, you know, we've had to make some very difficult decisions over the last year. We operate on balanced budgets, and we had to make, you know, accommodations when it comes to taxation, deferring tax deadlines, you know, cutting services, our recreational needs, you know, making cuts there, the offerings that we can provide to our residents, we've made cuts there. You know, everything has been impacted. The amount of services that we can provide really took a hit, and we needed to prioritize, you know, what was essential and, you know, what as much as, you know, it's essential to our daily lives and our health and our well-being, you know, what could we postpone or put off or minimize until we get to a point where we can start building that, building up financially again and build up that, you know, those special services to our residents as well. So it's been very difficult. I mean, you know, the types of capital work that we do, you know, our paving, we were, and road work, just different types of infrastructure, how our municipalities were challenged with how were our employees going to be able to work together, the type of PPE that was going to be required to do these specific jobs, the amount of time it was going to take, could we do it safely, did we have the equipment to be able to do that. So, you know, it's been a struggle, and we've done well in that we, you know, we manage our towns very well. And M&L has been a huge support for municipalities across the province and, you know, providing webinars and Zoom calls just to keep our members up to date. You know, the Safe Restart money that came out from the federal government, you know, we were able to help our help municipalities get that quickly and, you know, make suggestions on how to best use that and you know, where it would have the most impact. So, you know, we've done very well in moving through that, and we just can't take another hit.
Has COVID, I know it's presented a lot of difficulties, but has COVID also kind of helped me in those decision-making processes? I would imagine in the early days, especially, it was, you know, across the board, okay, there are no recreational activities, that's easy, bang. Has it helped in some ways in making those decisions?
Well, it really forced us to have to make those decisions. There was really no thought, you know, put into it. It was, this is how it has to be. But a lot of the revenue that's generated from, you know, the social offerings that we have, you know, a lot of the municipalities rely on that for the extra needs in the community. So without that money coming in, then, you know, obviously they were, you know, stressed that way as well. If we don't have that anticipated amount of money coming in, this is what that was, you know, going to help offset. Now what do we do? So it's been a struggle, definitely. COVID has really changed everything and has had a huge impact on everybody, you know, from personally to municipally to, you know, business-wise. It's been a struggle for everybody.
One of the recommendations in this report is introducing balanced budget legislation for the provincial government, but municipalities know all too well what it's like to have to come up with a balanced budget. You've had to meet that kind of legislation for a very long time now. Are there any lessons that the provincial government perhaps could learn from municipalities and the way that they manage their budgets?
Well, I mean, you know, the provincial government legislates that municipalities have to run a balanced budget. We, you know, we cannot have a deficit. They dictate to us on the funding arrangements, the cost-sharing ratios and things like that that we use when we're leveraging money. So, you know, they certainly understand how much it's a struggle for municipalities to run a balanced budget. But they also see the importance, and they see, you know, the positivity that comes from having a balanced budget. I mean, it's a great source of pride for municipalities when, you know, at the end of their budget consultations that they can sit down and say, hey, this is good. Our budget is balanced. These are the projects that we can do. We know this is the amount of money that we have to work with. We need to make our organizations fit this budget and operate within it. And it works very well. You know, municipalities don't overspend. We, you know, a lot of times we would love to be able to do more and enhance a lot of the offerings, you know, that we have to our community. We'd love to be able to do more paving. We'd love to enhance our parks. You know, we'd love to have, you know, more equipment to, you know, clear the roads quicker, you know, during winter time. That's not a luxury that we have. So we always have to plan 3-5 years out. We know the amount of money that we're working with, and any changes, you know, financially affect that budget, and we right away have to go back to the table to make adjustments. Where are we cutting now that this amount of revenue is not available? So, you know, the deficit option is just not there. It forces us to make very tough decisions, but in a lot of times it turns out to be the right decisions. And sometimes, you know, you don't get what you wanted, but you get what you need, and you move forward from there.
My guest today on Target is Amy Cody Davis. She is the interim chair of Municipalities Newfoundland and Labrador. She's also a longtime town councillor in Grand Falls, Windsor. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
Talking municipal issues with the interim chair of MNL, Amy Cody Davis. And I wanted to ask you, what are some of the most pressing needs facing municipalities today, especially on the back end of your symposium?
Sure. Well, some of the big things, obviously, and something that was mentioned in the Green Report is regionalization. So MNL has been talking to our municipalities and to the provincial government about regionalization for quite some time. You know, the amount of incorporated municipalities and the amount of local service districts and unincorporated areas, you know, there's always been a back and forth on the municipalities paying their share and then the, you know, observation or, you know, that the LSDs and the UIAs are not contributing the same way that the provincial or that the municipalities are, and, you know, that the government carries a lot of the weight for those regions. We know that in order for us to continue and for the province to make the tough decisions to come back to, you know, balanced budgeting and be in a safer financial position, that regionalization can work. We do know that. We also know that the cookie cutter approach is not going to work across the province. The regions are different. They're very diverse. Their needs are different across the province. So we've been working, you know, with municipalities to find the regional approach that will work best for them. You know, shared services. I mean, a lot of municipalities share services now. I know Grand Falls, Windsor, you know, shares water with a lot of communities in central Newfoundland. Waste management. We have the central waste management, you know, here in Norris Arm. You know, while that system is not perfect, the concept is correct. We just need to work out the kinks to make that, you know, the provincial initiative that it was supposed to be and not just central. So there's a lot of work that has to be done in that. But the regional approach is definitely the way for us to go. And, you know, we want to be part of that conversation, excuse me, and we have been, but it's been a very slow process. And we see that it has to speed up a little bit. We talked about regional economic development, you know, and there's so many other opportunities. When you talk about the vacant land tax and you talk about second properties, which is also referenced in the report, you know, the collection of that additional revenue, you know, how would that be passed on to municipalities? would it be passed on to municipalities? How do you identify it? How do you collect it? So many different things, you know, that we really need to be working on, that we need to continue conversation and need to be at the table to have those conversations as we move forward through this report.
Well, presumably, if you have a second property and it's in a municipality, you're already paying taxes to that municipality.
Yes, I think the point in the report is that this is cabin owners or people who have second properties in unincorporated areas or in LSDs or cabin areas or whatnot. I think that's probably what they're talking about there. So how do you collect the taxes? Like, where would that money go? Would it come back to the municipality where the individual has their, you know, first property, or, you know, how are they going to roll that out? So that's the conversation that we need to have.
When it comes to regionalization, and there's a lot of people who would agree with that, you take two small municipalities, you sort of, you know, we used to call it amalgamation one time, but no, you're sharing the same services, let's say, for instance, fire department or garbage collection or water and sewer, like you say. But if you're incorporating non-incorporated areas into those regions, and the people in those regions or non-incorporated areas already have their own water and sewer, then they're probably going to start demanding those kinds of services. So would that cause more, I suppose, cost to a municipality, perhaps?
It could very well, but again, that's why we need to start having those conversations. I mean, we have areas in larger communities where, you know, people have septic systems and their own water, you know, artesian wells and things like that on their properties now, but they still pay property tax. You know, they might not pay the water tax because they have their own water, but they pay property tax. So there's different streams of revenue, and there's different ways that we can decipher, you know, what types of revenue should we be collecting, how do we collect it. I mean, these unincorporated areas and the LSDs, they're coming into the, you know, the incorporated towns to do their shopping, to go to their medical appointments. You know, a lot of times they don't have garbage collection, so we're trying to decide, you know, well, where is their garbage going? Like, are they bringing it to a dumpster at their workplace? Are they dropping it off at their sister-in-law's house on their garbage day? Like, you know, that's the thing that we're questioning, and those are the areas where we think there's opportunity, you know, for additional revenues to come from. And then, you know, there's also benefits to the unincorporated and LSDs, you know, playing a role and contributing to municipalities and to the provincial government. Like you said, there's, and like the report says, you know, we need to come up with additional sources of revenue to get us out of the mess that we're in. And these are some of the areas that we can do it. Sometimes, you know, these areas are getting their snow clearing done by the provincial government and road maintenance done by the provincial government, but they're not contributing to the municipalities or to the provincial government directly. So we need to talk about that, and you know, we really need to come up with a plan to move all these communities together so that, you know, so that we can streamline the operations and that it becomes beneficial to not just the municipalities, but the LSDs and the UIAs as well.
We've been talking a lot about the Green Report in the last couple of days, and rightfully so. There's a lot there to talk about. But we do have a provincial budget that's coming down by the end of this month. What do you expect to see out of that?
Well, like I said, everybody is waiting with bated breath. And, you know, municipalities, Newfoundland and Labrador, we have always been engaged with the provincial government on, you know, where we feel municipalities need support, and where we think we're doing things well, and offering suggestions to the provincial government on what we think can work and how to roll that out. And that, you know, that's nothing new for us. We've done that, you know, since the organization has been in, you know, in incorporation. And that's something, again, you know, we have our advocacy days with the provincial government, although we haven't been able to do that, you know, the last year and a half because of COVID. But, we still do have a very close relationship with the province and talk to the departments and talk to the ministers, on a regular basis to let them know our thoughts, let them know where we feel there are additional sources of revenue, let them know where we feel that, areas could be streamlined. So, we're very happy with, we had our brand new Minister of Municipal and Provincial Affairs, Crystalyn Howell, in with us this weekend at our symposium and had that conversation. She addressed our membership. And, she comes from a municipal background. She was the mayor of St. Anthony. She understands the struggles. She understands, how the municipalities work. She understands, operating with a balanced budget. And we're very confident that we're going to have a very positive relationship with her working forward and that we'll be able to have these very serious conversations. So, we know it's going to be a tough budget. Municipalities know what it's like to create a budget. We know the difficulties, and we know the amount of work that it goes into. It's a huge strain. A lot of the municipalities that we represent have, one staff person, and a lot of times that person is half-time. And that's a huge amount of work on those individuals. So M&L wants to work with our membership and pass on their needs and their concerns and their ideas to the provincial government so that we work together and find a way out of this.
There's been a lot of talk in this report, this green report as well, about using technology to our advantage to try and lower costs. But that's something that municipalities have been struggling with for some time. I know there's municipalities out there that are still doing everything by paper, the old-fashioned way. Will it take some time to bring some municipalities, I guess, into that age of technology?
It absolutely will, but one of the big problems with that is, the availability of broadband and internet services in the smaller communities. They don't have access to that to be able to do their reports online and submit them online and, all of the advancements that come with having, a steady internet connection really can help ease the burden on a lot of these tasks. So, that's another thing that we spoke about in our symposium was, broadband and the importance of that and, how do we get better service and where are we lacking and what do we need to do? How do we stay connected? COVID forced us all to be doing our meetings via Zoom. A lot of communities don't have the ability to do that because their internet connections are poor or just don't even exist. So, that's an area that we need to work on. We talk about, infrastructure and coming up with innovative solutions. A lot of times, the provincial government sets up the funding ratios and it's a set system that they want, all the municipalities to implement. And sometimes some municipalities, that plan or that solution might not be the solution for that community, but they're forced to take it on because that's where the funding is allocated to. So then they have to make the decision, do we do it to get the funding because we need a system, or do we have another solution, a very innovative solution that would work best for our municipality and try to come up with the money on our own to be able to implement that system. So that's something that we're talking about as well. There needs to be more conversation and more research done into the infrastructure and how do we become more innovative and how do we come up with better ideas and how do we implement these plans so that, again, the cookie cutter approach doesn't work for everybody. Let's find the solutions that work best for the municipalities that have the needs.
Back to the issue of regionalization, it strikes me that for some reason M&L has been talking about this forever so long, but there's been no real movement, or doesn't appear to be any real movement towards that. And I know we all know all too well about the amalgamation of the 1990s, Grand Falls-Windsor being a prime example. And you were quick to correct me when I said Grand Falls just off the top of my head. I know the name of the town is Grand Falls-Windsor. But it also goes to show that people still have a very keen sense of who they are and their sense of community and that sort of thing. Would regionalization sort of help to amalgamate some of these issues but keep the autonomy of certain municipalities or towns or identities, if you will?
Absolutely. I mean, that's one of the main intents of regionalization, is that the individual communities, you know, keep their identities. We have such a rich history, and you know, a lot of times you feel that you lose. You know, when you talk about amalgamation, automatically people think about, oh, we're going to lose our town name, we're going to have to adopt this town name, or, you know, we're going to lose our history. This is why our town is named this, because this is the history behind it. Regionalization allows us to maintain that autonomy, but also allows us to leverage opportunities. So if we work as a region and share those services, it gives us the ability to become sustainable. Whereas if we try to maintain and go ahead on our own, we're just not going to be sustainable communities. And there's a lot of us out there who are struggling with that. We want to be sustainable. In order to receive funding, you know, that's going to be a struggle. Is government funding going to be available to communities that can't show their sustainability moving forward? Regionalization will help that. It will help us build on our strengths, share our services, and make our communities more stable moving forward, and, you know, extend the life of our municipalities, and really show that, you know, the regional approach can help build us up and, you know, move us forward instead of trying to maintain the municipality and, you know, LSDs and UIAs on their own. And so it'll just, you know, just gives us that little bit extra to move us forward.
Amy Cody Davis, the interim chair of Municipalities Newfoundland and Labrador, is my guest today on Target. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
My guest today is Amy Cody Davis. She's the interim chair of Municipalities Newfoundland and Labrador. We've been talking about issues affecting municipalities in the recent municipal symposium. And I know in the before times, as my boss Kerry Hodder likes to call it, before COVID-19, we were talking a lot about wastewater and how it was impacting municipalities. Where does that stand now, and is it still a concern?
It is still a concern, and it's still something that, you know, we're working towards a remedy. Drinking and wastewater infrastructure needs, you know, they don't go away. And, you know, there's some lags with the provincial government and or the province, sorry, on, you know, its support for ensuring asset management protocols, you know, are in place to support our municipalities. So, you know, waste management, it's a pressing concern for our members. It's something that we need to keep having a conversation about. It's so costly. And, you know, we're still talking about, you know, are the infrastructure needs, are they what's best for the municipalities? Again, it's the cookie cutter approach. Like, you know, does it fit everybody? Some of these smaller municipalities who, you know, have several outfalls, the cost for them to monitor those outfalls is way more than it would be for, you know, another community, probably similar size, maybe larger, who doesn't have as many outfalls. So their cost is a lot less. You know, the amount of money to remedy this is just so astronomical that, you know, the municipalities just don't have it. And unless we work, you know, with the federal government and the provincial government to come up with a more solid plan and better funding arrangements, then it's, you know, it's just going to remain so difficult that the municipalities are just not going to be able to do it. So we need to come up with an approach that's going to work for everybody, that's going to be, you know, fiscally responsible and attainable for municipalities if, you know, if they need to implement these changes, you know, for the diversion of wastewater is going to happen.
We've been talking about the Green Report, and we've been touching on the municipal budget. The provincial budget coming up. You just mentioned then, in terms of this wastewater management issue, that municipalities just don't have the money to deal with it. Are you concerned that if some of the recommendations to make cuts to provincial government spending and services are made coming out of this Green Report, that some of those costs will be downloaded onto municipalities?
Obviously, that is a concern. Municipalities just don't have the means to come up with additional funds. We understand that, things need to be streamlined. We've always had a very positive relationship with the provincial government. You know, they've always had an open door policy when it comes to M&L and, having access to ministers and staff and being able to work together to come up with solid solutions. So we know that, that relationship will continue, and we're really happy about that. Our plea, I guess, to the government is that before any of these recommendations your recommendations are implemented, that we continue to have those solid discussions and solid conversations around the table. This is not an easy fix. We know, they've already committed, the provincial government has committed to do public consultations on this. And that's great, but we need to, those public consultations to include our municipal government leaders as well, and have those conversations. So M&L will certainly be, talking with our membership, getting their thoughts on the report, getting their ideas, and we'll sit down with the provincial government at any time to discuss those ideas and to come up with a solid plan moving forward so that our municipalities can continue to provide the essential services to our residents that we do provide, and that there's no downloading, so that we have to then, look to our residents to come up with the financial shortfalls that we then are facing to continue with providing the services that they're so accustomed to.
Any other major issues come out of the municipal symposium?
It was our 70th AGM, 70th AGM and symposium, and what we wanted to do. I mean, the theme of our symposium was keeping the sector connected. And again, COVID has just changed the way that everybody does business, but especially municipalities. Throughout COVID and when we first went into the lockdown, municipalities were shut down, but, town halls were shut down, community centers were shut down, meeting spaces were shut down, but we still had to maintain the business of our municipalities. So we were forced to take on Zoom, and Zoom became the new norm. We conducted our required council meetings virtually. We all sat from our living rooms and participated in our council meetings. We, M&L, created several webinars for our membership on how to work through COVID, how to, find PPE, how to run your meetings through Zoom, all those things. We had 180 delegates, who attended virtually, about 93 communities. Normally, these sessions and symposium and our convention would be in-person events. We'd have 400 or 500 people at these events. And the networking, not just the sessions that are provided, during the daytime, but the networking that happens between those sessions and in the evenings, that's where you get to talk to your fellow municipalities and find out, what are you doing? What did you do to solve this problem? How did you overcome this challenge? How would regionalization work for you? What are some of the services that you're sharing currently? So we're really missing those conversations, but we're doing our best to make sure that we can still have them to some extent. So to be able to provide the symposium virtually to our membership and to be able to engage with them and keep them up to date on, what's been happening with M&L and offer them sessions on wastewater, on regional government, you know, to partner with Music NL. Just so many sessions that we had. And you know, another big thing that came out of, you know, of the symposium was our resolution session. We passed 10 resolutions over the weekend, and one of them talked about connectivity. I mean, we talk about, you know, being connected and the impacts that, you know, being an island has on our province. But connectivity across the province is a huge aspect of economic development. We talk about, you know, the flights and the difficulty, you know, that having flights cut from the province, what that has. It doesn't have just have an impact on tourism. That affects our rotational workers. You know, if they can't fly into Gander, for instance, and you know, they have to drive, you know, that adds 3, 4, 5 hours sometimes under their commute if they have to go west or east to, you know, have access to an airport. We also talked about, you know, our advocacy when it comes to the ferry system, how we advocated that there be a rate freeze to Marine Atlantic, you know, and we were successful in making that happen. You know, they backtracked on, Marine Atlantic backtracked on their rate increase for this year. So, you know, that was a huge step for us. So for us to be able to maintain the conversations and maintain the relationships with our municipalities through M&L, through our symposium and through convention, that's hugely important for us. And we're so, you know, pleased that our municipalities are taking advantage of this availability to really stay connected with us.
I was thinking as you were talking about the networking at this symposium, you know, how important those types of opportunities are. And I suppose someday, Amy, we'll be able to do that again. But it strikes me that that's where some of those real conversations occur, because in more formal settings, you might be afraid to say, look, this is what our municipality is really facing right now, because you might think you're alone. But it's in those networking sessions where you're standing around saying, boys, you know, we just had this happen last week. And then suddenly somebody else says, you know what, we've been dealing with that for weeks. That's where you get a real sense of what's really happening.
Yeah, and well, and the sessions are so timed as well. So, like, you may be having all those conversations and there may be tons of questions on a topic, but you have to cut it off because you have to move into the next session because you can't take time from the other presenters. So that's why those, like, in-between moments, the lunches, the suppers, you know, the networking after hours, you know, that's where the real conversations can happen and be expanded on. So we really can't wait for the opportunity to be able to get back to our in-person events, but we want to make sure that we do it safely.
For certain. We have just over a minute left. Amy, a last thought?
I just want to say thanks for the opportunity. Obviously, you know, M&L will continue to do the work of our municipalities. We want to maintain, and like I said before, we've had such a positive relationship with our provincial government members and our federal government members as well. They're always there to listen to us. We want to maintain that relationship, keep the conversations going, and just really work together to get us out of, you know, the financial crisis that we're in and, you know, move forward to more prosperous times.
Amy Cody Davis, a pleasure to speak with you this afternoon. Really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Have a great day.
Same to you. And we'll be back tomorrow for another edition of On Target. Do stay tuned, and thanks for listening.